And if you got your Bibles, let's open them up to Judges chapter 3. And as you guys are finding your way to Judges chapter 3, why don't we just pray and ask for the Lord's blessing on today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. And we thank you, God, for, Lord, what you did first service and what you're wanting to do now second service. Lord, we live in a time where the church is experiencing some persecution and the church is experiencing some fear. And Lord, your answer to that is the power of the Holy Spirit. God, throughout history, you have given your power to make the church bold and strong and to give the church courage. And Lord, we need it today more than ever. It almost seems as though, Lord, this is one of those repeating cycles for the church where it's time for us now to rise up and turn to you. And God, for you to do something new and fresh in your church. And God, we're excited about that. And I pray that as we get into your word today, God, you would speak to us. You would show us your intention for the church and the power, Lord, that you give the church. As we live in a generation that needs your power more than ever and needs your witness more than ever. So God, open your word, and I thank you, Lord, for just your heart and your spirit, God, being there for us and with us even now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Judges chapter 3. Actually, last time we kind of finished chapter looking at Othniel, but we didn't really finish. We stopped short because I wanted to focus in on verses 10 and 11 today because I think this is just as important for where we are as a church as looking at some of the issues we looked at last week. This is an extremely important issue, and that is the works of the Holy Spirit. And so look at with me, if you will, at verses 10 and 11 of Judges chapter 3. It says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, that is Othniel, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim. So the land had rest for 40 years, and then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. Now, if you remember last week, we ended with Othniel receiving power from God, and again, we just read that right there, but receiving power from God and delivering the children of Israel from the situation they were in. And the reason this is so important to me, and the reason I wanted to take a week to focus in and look just at the works of the Holy Spirit before we moved on to the book of Judges, is because they were living in days that I believe we are living in today. And not only that, I believe the early church was living in days that we're living in today as well, and that is where we need to understand and call out to God for the work of the Holy Spirit in the church and in our lives as well. And I think if we're going to be able to truly call out with a heart of understanding, we have to understand the works of the Spirit. We have to understand how God works in our life. You know, it's interesting when you look back at the early church, they had no TV, no internet, no cars or trains or airplanes or any means of transportation like that. Everything was simply in the primitive form as we think of today, horses, buggy, etc. Except the interesting thing about that is the early church reached the entire world in their generation. Now, some believe they didn't do that, that they only reached part of the known world. Whether you want to argue the known world or the entire world, doesn't matter. They spread literally around the world without any of the modern things that we have today. And I find that interesting in light of the fact that we have all of the modern means of communication and travel today, and we still haven't reached much of the world for Christ. Why is that? Why was the early church in their primitive form able to spread around the world with the gospel, and we today still have large swatches or swaths of people who don't even know about Jesus Christ? There's one difference between the church today and the early church that made that happen, and that was the power of the Holy Spirit and the works of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't have the work of the Holy Spirit in his church today and that throughout history there hasn't been the work of the Holy Spirit as God has moved in his church. What I'm saying is the church in that day, when it was first born, was unified in the works of the Holy Spirit. And because of that, God was able to do an amazing work. And that's my heart for us here at Calvary Chapel, that we would be unified in the work of the Holy Spirit, understanding how he works, inviting him to work that way, and really for the Church of America, understanding how he works and inviting him to work so that we might see revival in America. And again, it kind of really feeds off of last week's message. You know, it's interesting when we look at the different works of the Spirit, we're going to see with Othniel, and we're going to touch on that again in just a moment, that the Holy Spirit came upon him and he received power to conquer his enemies. And that is, there are different works of the Spirit, and one of the works of the Spirit is the coming upon from the outside to give us power. Now, when you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament and the work of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit didn't work the same way in both. Now, what do I mean by that? Was he the same? Yes. But did he work the same? No, because he was limited. Let me explain. In the Old Testament, you only have two works of the Holy Spirit. You'll see this as you read all the way through the Old Testament. He was with the believer, and he came upon the believer. Those two works, with the believer and upon the believer, for power. And you'll notice that every time power was needed for one of God's servants, the Holy Spirit came upon them. He would be with them to lead them in the direction they needed to go, but when they needed to really go, then God gave that upon experience, that work of the Spirit in their life. Now we get to the New Testament, we see three different works of the Spirit. And I'll explain why there is a difference and why one has now been added. In the New Testament, we see three works of the Spirit. God is with us, God is in us, and God is upon us. It's used by three different Greek prepositions. The word with is the word para in the Greek, and it means alongside. The Holy Spirit is alongside of us. The word en or en in the Greek is where we get the word in, in, or indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that is the word used for that. The third word used in the New Testament is the same derivative or same idea of what was going on in the Old Testament when the Holy Spirit would come upon the prophets and the kings and servants. The Holy Spirit now comes upon us, and it's the preposition epi, E-P-I, and it means an outside event coming upon you for power. And actually, it just means an outside event coming upon you. But when we look at the scripture, we see that every time that it did that, or every time that that was done by the Holy Spirit, we received, or the believers received, power. And so we're going to look at these and break them down. We're going to take just a moment to look at a couple of things in the Old Testament. Now, the Old Testament is full of examples of the Holy Spirit coming, being with believers and coming upon them. We're not going to do an exhaustive study of the Holy Spirit, or you'd be exhausted by the time we're done. That'd have to be kind of a multi-week thing. But we're going to see those works, and then we're going to move into the New Testament and see the added work of the indwelling and the three works in the New Testament, or rather we'll talk about that and see all three of them in the New Testament when we get there as well and explain the differences. Now, first of all, we have to understand who the Holy Spirit is. And that might sound basic to some of you, but for some people it's not that basic. And that is a lot of the images we get of who the Holy Spirit is, if you watch a lot of Christian TV, or maybe even some things on the radio or whatever you run across, they treat the Holy Spirit like it's this thing they can manipulate. Maybe they wrap the Holy Spirit up in a ball and they throw it on someone, or they blow on people and they make them fall down by the Holy Spirit. Guys, the Bible does not say that the Holy Spirit is a thing you can manipulate. The Holy Spirit is a person. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And that is, you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is a person, and he's actually God. And he is not something you can manipulate. However, he does impart power to believers to do what God has called them to do. And again, we see that in the Old Testament and in the New Testament as this upon experience, God coming upon them and giving them power to do the work of the ministry. Now, why is it we have different works of the Holy Spirit in the Old and New Testament? Because in the Old Testament, Jesus had not yet died for the sins of man. Now, why does that matter? What that means is, until Jesus died on the cross, the Holy Spirit could not come and indwell or live inside of any of us. Why? Because although we may be forgiven by the sacrifices we took to the priest, and we may be followers of God in the Old Testament, our sins were not taken away. They were simply temporarily covered. And that's what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that the blood of animals temporarily covered the sins of the Old Testament believers until Jesus Christ could come, die on the cross by his blood. Now the sins that had been covered for all these centuries were now washed away forever. And so we find the forgiveness in the cross, the temporary covering in the Old Testament. But because the sins in the Old Testament were only temporarily covered until the cross, what that means is God could not inhabit unclean vessels. So God could not come to live inside of us as believers. Now, you might be saying, well, Pastor Mark, I'm an unclean vessel now. Look, I know that we're sinners. We know that we're not perfect. But the good news is the blood of Jesus covers our sin. So what that means is, because the blood is covering our sin, God can literally now, as of the cross, move inside of the believer and inhabit. And that's what the Bible says the Holy Spirit does. At the moment of conversion, you already had God with you. He was drawing you to him by that. The moment you give your life to Christ, you immediately have the in work of the Spirit, the indwelling, the E-N there, the Greek word used in the language. He comes to move inside. And Paul talks about that in Romans as well as other places in Scripture. So that is the new one. And then the one that is the remaining one that we're going to look at here first in the Old Testament is the upon work of the Spirit, where God gives God's power for the believer to be able to either do a special task for God or really just to walk with God. And what's exciting about this is the Lord has now made this particular work of the Spirit available to every believer. Every believer now has access to this. Jesus said in John 14, 16 through 17, I want you to see his preparation for what was coming on the indwelling, but what we already had going. Listen to what he said. He said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you. There's the word para, alongside. And he will be, notice future tense, he will be in you. And that is where he was talking about the cross. Now, apart from the cross, we see the work of the upon, that is power for the believer, all through the Scripture. And you know, we've taught on this before, but I don't think I've ever taught and shown you in the Old Testament some examples at the same time we've talked about it in the New. And I think this is important to establish, because a lot of people, even within the church, falsely believe that the new thing that happened at Pentecost was God poured out his Spirit on his people and gave them the gifts. That wasn't new at all. As a matter of fact, that's something that had been happening throughout all the Old Testament. God did the same thing. If you go back and read Moses, when he was anointing the elders for the church in the wilderness, it says God poured out his Spirit on the elders of Israel. As a matter of fact, two of the elders of Israel had remained in the camp and weren't even gathered with all the other elders, and they received the power of the Holy Spirit. God came upon them, and people said, hey, there's people that have been filled with the Spirit even within the camp. And so God has been doing this throughout history and coming upon his people and his believers. But the reason I think this is such an important thing for us to understand today is because I believe we're in the same days as they were in Acts. And what do I mean by that? In Acts, what had happened was the government was increasing persecution on the church, and the church was becoming more and more afraid. It's amazing how many people I've run into since these court cases and this couple of weeks ago, and people, I'm afraid. What's going to happen to the church? What's going to happen to the believer? And people are starting to live in fear, and people are starting to be afraid. Listen, the same God that ruled then is the same God that rules today. He's still on the throne, and we need to remember that. And the same Holy Spirit who operated in power in that day is the same Holy Spirit who operates in power in this day. And we've got to remember, even as God came upon the Old Testament saints, God comes upon the New Testament saints and does that particular work of the Spirit to give us power, so that when the government is closing in, or when the enemies are closing in, or when we're afraid, we can now walk in boldness and fullness of the Lord. He doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't leave us as orphans. You know, it's interesting. You look at Peter, you want to see a graphic example of what happens when the Holy Spirit comes upon a believer. And let's look at this in the Scriptures first of what happens here with Othniel. Look at verse 10. It says with Othniel, again, the Spirit of the Lord came, what? Upon him, and he judged Israel, and he went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand. And his hand prevailed over Cushath Rishathaim, and of course the land, it says, had rest for 40 years. What did God do for Othniel when he needed to have boldness and courage and power to defeat the enemies of God and the enemies of Israel in his day? God came upon him. That work of the Spirit for power. But again, I want to look at several of these, not just, as I said, we're not going to go through the whole Old Testament and look, but I thought it would be good to look at a couple more in the book of Judges, because we're going to be coming to that anyway. And then I wanted you guys to understand how this work of the Spirit works in the believer's life, because it is also available for us today. And that is, God will give us power when he comes upon us and moves by his Spirit. The next one I want you to look at is Judges chapter 6. We'll stay in Judges for the Old Testament. Go to verses 33 and 34 of chapter 6. And now we come to a man by the name of Gideon. Now, I associate with Gideon a lot. Why? Because Gideon was the youngest of his family, like I am. Gideon said to the Lord, you know, I'm the youngest in my family. I come from the least of the tribes, and our family's basically nobody. And you're going to use me? Well, that's what I feel like. That's what I felt like growing up, that I was the youngest of my family. Our family was basically nobody. And I'm thinking that, God, would you ever use me? And so I associate with Gideon in that sense, but it's interesting because Gideon had fear. He was afraid to step out and do ministry. He was afraid to do battle for the Lord, the Bible tells us. And if you remember the story, which we don't have time to read, he was so afraid of the Midianites, the enemies of Israel, he was hiding down in a valley trying to winnow the wheat, you know. And you'd have to go up on a high place to do that. The way they used to do it back then, they would throw the wheat up in the air and the wind would blow the chaff away and the wheat would fall to the ground. He was down in a valley where no wind could be, down in a wine press area where no wind was, because he was afraid of the enemies of God. And all of a sudden, the Lord shows up and says, "Hey, mighty man of valor, I'm going to use you." And he's like, "You're kidding. Who are you talking to?" You know, I kind of get this comical scene. I'd love to almost see that played out with the guy looking around for the mighty man of valor. But that's what God thinks about when he looks at you guys. He says, "Hey, mighty man. Hey, mighty woman of valor." And you're thinking, "Me? God, could you use me?" Yes, if you allow him to come upon you with his Holy Spirit, he certainly will. And this is what Gideon learned. And now look at verses 33 and 34. It says, "Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east gathered together, and they crossed over and they encamped in the valley of Jezreel." Again, this was to battle against Israel. Tens of thousands of them. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. The pauses are to point out this work of the Spirit in Gideon's life when he needed it. He came upon Gideon. And then Gideon blew the trumpet and the Abiezerites gathered behind him. And it goes on to say he went to battle against the Midianites and he defeated tens of thousands of Midianites with 300 men. Now, I know that it was God's Spirit. We understand that. But God came upon him for power to do something that seemed impossible when he was afraid. And God gave him boldness to do it and gave him victory to do it. That's exactly what we need to happen to us today. Now, what is another one? What about Samson? I want you to turn now to Judges chapter 14. It's interesting, when you look at Samson, I think a lot of times we think of Samson, we probably think he was some kind of bodybuilder and maybe he had some Australian accent or something like that, right? "I've come to fight the Philistines," you know, or something. I'm not convinced that Samson was a muscle man at all. Now, he may have been a sturdy guy, he may have been strong, but when you see God using Samson in power, it says the Holy Spirit came upon him and he had power. And Samson killed a lion with his bare hands. He killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. We'll read that in just a moment. This is not the kind of thing that a muscled man can do. I don't care how good of a fighter you are. I don't care how strong you are. You have to have supernatural power to do this kind of feat. And look at this in Judges 14, verses 5 through 6. I guess I should turn there also, huh? I'm too busy sticking in my notes. Judges 14, verses 5 through 6. Notice what he says. It says, Judges 14, 5 and 6. I apologize. 14, 5 and 6. Listen to what it says. "So Samson went down to Timnah with his father and his mother, and he came to the vineyards of Timnah, and to his surprise, a young lion came roaring out against him." The young lions are the strong ones. They're the ones that do the hunting, even for the older lions. And notice verse 6, "And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done." Now, I would have run him, "I just killed a lion, you know." Now, the reason he didn't tell them is because of all kinds of Levitical reasons and being unclean and touching an animal and all the religious cleansing. And by the way, although God used Samson, he wasn't exactly the greatest Christian model, we might say today, which is another whole teaching in itself. But he rips this thing apart. Listen, that doesn't happen by man's sheer power. Now look at Judges 15, verses 14 and 15. And look what it says. Speaking again of Samson, it says, "And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arms became like flax that is burned with fire, and his bonds broke loose from his hands." And look at this. "He found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand, took it, and killed 1,000 men with it." Now listen, you can do all the Bruce Lee imitations you want, but there's no way this guy could have done this without the power of the Holy Spirit. And this is what I want you to see. When God's people need power, there is a specific work of the Spirit that is separate from the other two. It is separate from the indwelling. It is separate from being with you. The para is separate from that. It's the upon or the epi there in the language, the coming upon in power. And God uses this and has used it not only in the life of the church since its inception, but I wanted you to see, first of all, that God has done the same thing in the Old Testament. And now when you read the Old Testament all the way through it, you're going to see that every time power is needed, God comes upon the king or upon the prophet or upon the servant. It was something that was available to the body of Christ then. It's something that's available to the body of Christ now, although they didn't have the indwelling as we do now. And this is where we get to the New Testament. Now I want you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 2. Because this is the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. And this is where God pours out his spirit upon the church in Acts chapter 2. But it's also where the church has now received the indwelling work of the spirit. And all of them working now in fullness. It's almost as if in the Old Testament, God had to wait till he could give us the fullness of what he had for us. He said, I want to be with you, I want to be in you, and I want to be upon you, but I can't be in you until I die on the cross. Once I die on the cross, I'll be in you. Now, by the way, for you Bible students, you will find one or two times in the Old Testament where the Holy Spirit did come inside of someone, but he only stayed for a moment, and then he left. So God came and did a specific work in the prophets and the saints that were able for that moment to do that, but he wasn't able to remain there because of the sin nature of man, and he had to leave. Now we have that indwelling permanently, as I said, the moment we receive Christ. And again, this is where we get to as we look at this in Acts chapter 2. Now, what's the setting? Well, if you remember the setting, Jesus in John chapter 20 had risen from the dead. He appeared to the disciples in the upper room, and it says that he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." He had died on the cross. He was now ready to give the Holy Spirit's indwelling to the believers, because from that point on, we could all receive it. And he says, receive the Holy Spirit. It's the word lambano in the Greek, and it's in the command form. I'm telling you, take this. It's like handing someone something. And so the disciples at that point received the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit moved inside of the believer at that point. He was with them. He was now in them. But now, in order to face the persecution and have the boldness they needed for the days they lived in, he is now about to come upon them at the birth of the church, even as he came upon the elders of Israel with Moses when he was birthing that work in the wilderness. God doing the same thing, but now with the church. Look at chapter 2, verse 1 of Acts. It says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, that is, they received power, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, it's interesting. When you look at Peter, Peter was the bold one. You know, Peter's the one that said, though they all deny you, I won't. I'm the rock. Watch this. Here we go. And then God said, all right, I'm going to let you be tested here, Peter, and find out you're not as tough as you think you are. The rock got tested and turned out to be jello, right? And, of course, he denied the Lord three times. He needed to learn that lesson because Peter needed to learn like we do. It's not by our own strength that we're going to be able to do this. It's a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. And then Peter, like all the rest of them, the Bible says they were hiding in the upper room. They were hidden away from the Jewish authorities because they thought they might be killed as well. They were living in fear. Now note this, the government was turning up heat on them and they were becoming afraid as a Christian people, so to speak, if you want to modernize it. And they were hiding behind closed doors. And what did God know they needed in order to not hide? What did God know they needed in order not to be afraid? They needed this particular work of the Spirit, of the three different works. They needed this particular work, and that is the one that gives you power, where God comes upon. And now we see he pours his Spirit out upon them here in these first four verses in chapter 2. And the Bible goes on. We're not going to read it. We don't have time. But in this chapter, all of a sudden, Peter stands up, afraid Peter, the one who not only heard the chicken but was acting like one, stands up in front of the same people that put Jesus to death and said, you are guilty and you need to repent as a nation, as a society, as a person. I'm putting it in my own words. You need to repent. And God gave him power and boldness. What happened to Peter? What happened to this man who was so afraid that he's hiding behind closed doors, and a sudden event took place that the very next moment he's standing up in front of the crowds, confronting them in their sin, realizing he might be the next one hanging on the cross? I'll tell you what happened. The Holy Spirit came upon him. When I lived in Nashville, I gave my life to the Lord. And I remember when I gave my life to the Lord, it was exciting. The word came alive. It was a whole, you know what that's like when you first come to the Lord. But I was afraid. I was afraid to share my faith. I wasn't walking in boldness. And I just felt there's got to be more than this. I mean, I love the Lord and all this, but how are we to be a witness in all this? And I remember people saying, well, you know what? God does have an event where he gives you power. He'll come upon you if you ask him. And so I remember getting alone. I was house sitting for these people in Nashville there. And I just said, God, you know what? I don't understand all this. I'm a baby Christian, but I want everything you have for me. What do you have for me? I want everything. I'm opening up. Here I am. And I completely repented. I turned from all known sin. I said, I'm an open vessel. God, whatever you want, let's go. And God, at that moment, one of the most life-changing moments in my life, besides salvation, he came upon me. And he came upon me in power. And my life changed overnight. That night that I prayed that, some new power entered me. And literally, from someone who was afraid to share his faith, that next day I was out in the streets and the malls of Nashville stopping people and talking to them about Jesus Christ, people I didn't even know. I remember going up to just people and just, hey, when it's stopping to people in the food line, hey, have you received Christ? And of course, it was very clumsy, and I'm sure it was probably very abrupt because I was a baby Christian. I didn't know what I was doing. I think I've shared with you guys before. I walked up to a group of bikers, and they're all sitting around their jackets, big, burly, rough-looking guys. And I had the boldness of a lion, either that or an idiot, but either way. I walked up, and I said, guys, can I talk to you a minute? And all their heads just turned at me. And I said, has anyone ever shared that Jesus Christ loves you? And they actually talked to me. We spent probably 5 or 10 minutes just talking, sharing. I gave them the gospel. Nobody gave their life to the Lord. But I didn't tell them that hogs weren't kosher. It started a fight. But I shared the Lord with them. And you know what? I wonder, did some of those guys receive Christ? Guys, here's what happened. My point is this. What happened to Peter where he changed from literally one day to the next day to a different man? What happened to me? Where I literally changed in one day to a different man. What happened? That third work of the Holy Spirit where we see in the Old Testament and the New Testament where God comes upon the believer for power. And that is exactly what I think we desperately need because the same atmosphere is here for today that was back in that day. You know, it's interesting. In that day, the rabbis taught that the gifts and the Spirit were no longer for that day. The rabbis in Jesus' day said that was only something that God did back in the days of the prophets. It was only something that God did back in the days of Judges. It's not something that God still does today. That was 2,000 years ago. And they were saying that. Yet after they said that is when God poured out his Spirit all over the church upon these believers and did all these amazing things. Now, why do I bring that up? Because some of you have probably heard that same thing today. There are people, there are rabbis slash pastors that still say today, that's something, and it's funny, they don't say it like the rabbis in Jesus' day said, that was something that happened long ago back in the prophet's day. Now people today say, hey, that's something that happened back in Jesus' day. They kind of push it back to the time before them. Listen what it says in Hebrews 13, verse 8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means he doesn't change. He stays the same forever. And guys, the very same power that God offered the church back in that day is the same power that God will offer the church today if we will simply ask him to give us that power. And we need it more than ever. It was John Wesley, I believe, who said, and don't quote me on that, but I feel pretty confident. He said, the reason the church today in my generation, in John Wesley's generation, is not walking in power is because we're not asking for God to come upon us and empower us with the Holy Spirit. We need God's power. Now, when you look at these, you say, all right, I hear that. Great. Well, Mark, how do we know for sure that this is for us today? When Peter was giving this message, in context here, he was talking about what they had just seen take place, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the people were asking, what just happened? Why are these people speaking in other languages? What is this they're doing? How is all this going on? There's something different taking place. What does it all mean? And Peter says, listen, in verse 39, I want you to read this with me, Acts chapter 2, verse 39. Peter says this, for the promise is to you, that is those that were there right then, and to your children, that is the next generation, and to all who are afar off, that is everyone around the world, and this is the category where we fall, number four, and as many as the Lord our God will call. Question, are you called of the Lord? If you're called of the Lord, this promise and the work of the Spirit is for you. Jesus said, speaking of the Holy Spirit given in Luke 11:13, listen to what he said. He said, if you then being evil, that is of the sin nature, is what he was talking about, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father, rather your Heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? But we have to believe and we have to ask. Now, I want to see a couple of other examples here in Acts before we end this today. I want you to turn with me now to Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 44. There are many other examples I could use, but I wanted to grab a couple so you could see some other examples of this other work of the Spirit where God comes upon and gives power. Look at Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 44. What is the setting? Peter had been called to go up to by Cornelius to go up to Caesarea Philippi and share the gospel with some Gentiles up there. God was doing a brand new work in the Gentile church along with the Jews as well. The church was being born and they needed this move of God's Spirit. And so Peter goes up there to speak with them. And notice here in verse 44, it says, and while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized, who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And as he commanded them to be baptized, in the name of the Lord, and then they asked him to stay for a few days. Now notice this, in this particular instance, all three took place. The Holy Spirit was with them. They received Christ. The Holy Spirit came in them, the indwelling, and the Holy Spirit came upon them for power. All three works of the Holy Spirit at one moment. And sometimes that happens. That didn't happen with me. I've seen some believers, they receive Christ, and the moment they receive Christ, they say, God, I want everything you've got. The Holy Spirit comes upon them, and God gives them the gifts that they're to use for ministry. He gives them power. He gives them boldness, and they take off going for it in ministry. Mine wasn't like that. I knew the Lord for several months before this experience took place in my life. It was months later when I was alone and saying, God, I want everything you've got, that he came upon me. So I wanted you to see an instance where it all happens at one time, but I also want you to see an instance as we finish today where sometimes it happens in stages. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 19. What is the setting? Paul is traveling around the region. He's come to Ephesus. And when he gets to Ephesus, he runs into some disciples, some followers of Jesus. And notice what he says here, starting in chapter 19, verse 1. It says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples. So notice, he has found believers. They are disciples of Christ. He said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, what a bizarre question. Let's back up and think about this for a second. He finds a group of disciples in Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus. They know him. They're saved. And he says to them, hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit? Why would Paul say this? Paul wrote Romans. He knows that the moment you give your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit is received. He comes inside of you. Every believer, the Bible clearly says that. So what is Paul talking about? Paul is talking about this other work of the Spirit because he noticed in their lives something's missing. And for some of you this morning, you're noticing like I did in Nashville. You're saved, but if you honestly evaluate your life, you're thinking, something's missing. I don't have the power that Pastor Mark has. And I'm not bragging on myself. I'm making a point that I couldn't stand up in front of people and share my faith. Sometimes I can't. So don't get me wrong. If I'm not walking with God and praying to be filled regular in the Holy Spirit, I can't either. But I use that as an example to say, I can't be a witness. I couldn't share. I'm that kind of thing. And people look at you and think something's missing. And sometimes you might even look at yourself and you think something's missing. Why can't I have victory over that sin in my life? Why am I not walking in boldness when I run into people that I need to share the gospel with and I'm too afraid? It's because God needs to come upon you with his Holy Spirit. And Paul recognized this. He said, something's not right here, guys. There's something missing. And notice what he said, whether what they said, they answered and said, well, we have not as much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. We don't know about this thing you're talking about, Paul. Tell us. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Remember, John said, there's one coming after me that will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He was talking about Jesus. He said, you obviously have not been baptized by the Lord. What baptism were you baptized with? We're baptized by water. That's great. That's for repentance and sin. That's good. But you need God to baptize you now. You need the power of God in your life. And so he's going to lead them into that. Then Paul said to them, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, guys, look at this. You've got a group of disciples, believers in Jesus. They've now been baptized in Jesus. You can't be any more saved than that. It is the definition of a Christian. And they have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But notice Paul realized they needed something more. And now he moves on after that in verse 6. And notice this. After that took place, look at verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spoke with tongues and prophesied. And the men were about 12 in all. Guys, why do I emphasize this? Because I believe more than ever the church needs the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need God to come upon us. We need to recognize the clear, different workings of the Holy Spirit that God has given us. And we need to say, God, I want everything you've got. And I think we need it more now than ever. You know, I didn't time today's teaching on what happened a week and a half ago, or however long, 2 weeks ago almost now, in what happened in the court, maybe a little over a week. I didn't time this message for that. But I find it interesting that one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit is when it comes upon the believer, is to remove fear and to give boldness. And right after that judgment came down a little over a week ago, I heard a lot of fear in the body of Christ. What's gonna happen? What's gonna happen to us? What's gonna happen to the church? What's gonna happen to our kids? People are afraid. I believe God timed this message today. I believe God didn't allow me to finish last week because he knew that he would put this in my heart this week, because the church today is primed and ready for another outpouring of God's Spirit, and we need it more than we ever needed it. Guys, we need boldness. We need courage. We need power. We need to not be afraid of those that are around us, and we need to do it all in love. This is a sovereign work of God by the Holy Spirit. And so what I want to challenge you today as we finish, and we're going to take a moment to pray here as we wrap this up, is there something missing in your Christian life? You know the Lord. You know he lives inside of you. You understand the word, but you have never walked in power. Listen, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same upon experience in the Old Testament came upon them in the New Testament and still comes upon us like he did in my life. He still comes upon us today. And that's what the Lord offers for you right now. And if you want to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit, for God to come upon you and just empower you for the work of the ministry and empower you to live as a Christian, then we're going to pray for God to do that in your lives right now. So let's just pray, and I want you to prepare your heart. Now, let me say one thing before we pray. Hold on. One more thing. I think what hinders a lot of people from receiving everything God has from them is a lack of repentance. And what do I mean by that? If you're living in sin and you know you're living in sin, God's not going to fill you to the brim until you repent. You've got to empty yourself of all of you and what you know is wrong. Right now, you need to confess to God and say, God, I know that is wrong. I turn from it. You've got to stop doing it. Today, this is it. Tell him, I'm stopping right now. And I want you to replace that empty place. I'm removing that. Now you fill me with your Spirit. You come upon me. You baptize me. You give me what I need to walk with you in power. But you've got to repent, guys. You've got to be sincere. If you continue living in your sin, God's not going to give you the power that you need to do this. But if you truly will say, I'm turning away from that, and God, I want you to come upon me, God's going to change your life, and he's going to do it right now. Let's pray. Lord, you're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I'll never forget the day, God, when I totally emptied myself and said, Lord, there's something missing. I want all that you have for me. God, you came upon me with your Holy Spirit, just like you did Othniel and Samson and Gideon, maybe not to be used in that capacity, maybe not in great strength like Samson, but God, in the Spirit, you gave me power and you gave me gifts and you called me into the ministry. And Lord, there are people here right now, just because you come upon them doesn't mean they're called to be a pastor or called to be anything. What it means is they will now have power to do what you have called them to do. And there are some right now in this room that are saying, you know what? I am missing something. I don't have what that guy has. I don't have what that lady has. I am missing something. And Paul would look at them today and say, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? God, if there's any in this room like that right now, I pray that right now you begin to pierce their hearts to turn away from any known sin and to receive everything you have for them, Lord. And if that's you this morning, and right now you're saying, you know what, that's me. I want everything God has. Then I want you to repent of your sin, confess it, ask God to forgive you, and turn from it. Stop doing it. And ask God right now to come upon you with his Holy Spirit. Right now, begin to receive it in faith. Ask him all around the room. Begin to pray in your heart. Ask him to fill you if you want that. Ask him to come upon you in power like you did those Old Testament saints and the early church. And Father, I pray that right now as you hear these prayers, God, you begin to pour out your Spirit. Lord, pour out your Spirit on this place right now in power. Come upon your saints, God. Lord, we need your power now more than ever. Fill us, baptize us, empower us in your Holy Spirit. Just receive it. Let the Lord, everything he has, tell him all that he has you want. And Lord, for those in here that have already had you come upon us, Lord, we've been filled with the Spirit. We've had that work of the Spirit in our life. God, your word says we need to do that on a regular basis. Because we use that power and we need to be filled again. So if there's any of us in this room, Lord, like me, that want to be filled fresh again right now, if you want to be filled afresh with the Spirit, begin to pray and say, God, I've had you come upon me. I've had that work of the Spirit in my life, but Lord, I need to be filled again. Come upon me, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now in the name of Jesus and receive it by faith. Thank you, Jesus. Move around this room among your people. Pour out your Spirit, Lord, from heaven. We receive by faith. Give your church the boldness, Lord, of Acts chapter 2. Give us the boldness, Lord, that we're not afraid of the government or those around us. We're not afraid, God, of even those that would take our lives. But God, we only fear you. And now we walk not in the power of human ability, but in the supernatural power of the Spirit. We praise you, Lord. God, we thank you. And we bless you. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.